Berkeley Johnson. I'm from South by Southwest. I'm one of the music festival programmers. I don't know if South by needs much of an introduction. I feel like a lot of people here have been there or at least heard a lot about it. But I guess a brief history, it started back in 1987, so coming up on about 40 years, but we started with 177 bands and 15 stages. Now we're up to 1,500 artists and like 80 stages over 6 days, so it's quite the undertaking, and it's come a long way.
And yeah, well, we know a little bit about it, and I know several of you guys work with festivals as well. But maybe we should save the specific questions for your festivals and speak about more festivals in general. And I'd like to start by, you obviously have like a unique atmosphere and a unique thing with your festival. And of course, every festival is unique in some way, but do you, how big part is the lineup and how big part is the atmosphere from a festival?
Yeah, I can start from my perspective. It's Summer Sound is a relatively big festival for Latvia, but it's small festival for like in general for Europe or for world. And being small festival, you cannot compete with huge lineup and really big names. So what we can do, we can stress on atmosphere and what we are. And I would say that it was said already before that we are talking about not so much atmosphere just in festival, but it's about community around festival that we are building through the year. And then when people come to the festival, it's just a highlight of the through the year communication with them. So, and we just materialize what we have been talking through the year about what we are doing, how it's built, and all the things what are important to our visitors, so they finally experience it there. So I would say that in my case, it's even 2/3 are atmosphere and being there, and 1/3 is lineup, which is important.
Do you sell tickets
in advance?
Yeah, before you have announced any
we did
artists.
We did already last year. We start to sell next week after ending festival. This year we started Sunday morning, ended festival. 3 in the afternoon we start to sell tickets. And so far since August we have sold several thousand without any name.
That's great. So then you have something that people want to, they know it's going to be good. How about you, Lubna?
I completely agree with what Uldis just said, that being a small festival, you can't compete with the big festivals. You just don't have the budgets for it. And for us, I think we also sell early bird tickets. They get sold out in hours. And for us, that's like a huge thing. Like we probably haven't even signed one name at that point, right? So for us to be selling tickets before the lineup is big, but I think it's also because the festival has grown pretty organically. It's been word of mouth, and that's the reason I think we have fans. We have a community around the festival that keeps coming back, and they came in the 20s. Now they come with the children. They come with even the parents and grandparents. So it's like we have this community around us that keeps coming to the festival, and it's not for just a name because you come to the festival to discover new music. Because we sign a lot of artists from like Northeast India, which was traditionally not a market that was overlooked by even mainland India. So it was a festival where we wanted an equal platform for bands from the Northeast, and while showcasing bands from the world and the rest of India. So I don't think the lineup is what people are coming for at the festival. Of course, they do come. I'm not saying they don't, but it's not as important.
And that's the interesting thing, I think, with festivals, because the lineup is crucial.
Yeah.
But in a way, I can go there anywhere. Anyway, I guess most of us can. But with 1,500 bands or an artist, I mean,
It's
how do you even promote that? Because I mean, that's a competition in itself.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that's something that we're, that's part of our programming is we look at, what's going on in the venue next door and what's going on the night before. And There's so many things that go into it. So I mean, yeah, lineup is huge, but the atmosphere of South By is also half the reason people go. And I mean, you never know what you're gonna run into out there. I think that's half the beauty of it. Yeah, and I mean, with so many things going on, there's something for everybody out there too. So it's, you know, it's for everybody to find something that they enjoy and a new band that they love, and maybe even catch one that they already know. So there's just so many opportunities there.
But if we look at not your festival stand, but some festivals have problems. A lot of them can't survive. What do you think they have done to not succeed? But can you point anything that like divides success from no success?
Yeah, I think it's what I have experienced in last year, so for the last 10 years, looking at different kind of festivals, what has happened with those who have succeeded and those who haven't succeeded or even ended. I think it's a biggest competition to the festival. It is festival itself, because it's always about that. People have some expectations what you will get there, and you have to maintain this balance, growing but not overgrowing. You may not fall next year. Then you get this downward spiral. When you are worse than expected, people are disappointed and they don't come back. And then you have lower attendance. You have lower budget. You cannot afford the next lineup, and then it goes down. So it's a art of being slowly growing and always exceeding expectations of for audience.
But how do you do that?
I mean, I think part of that is just being open-minded and passionate about what you do, too, like from the festival side, like on the programming side, like you have to love what you do. So, and also, like, you know, about those expectations, like listen to your audience and stuff.
Exactly. You have to talk to your audience. And you cannot build your festival just in one room and don't look outside and make the best festival in the world. It will not, because it's just for you. You have to understand, you have to communicate with your audience, and then you can feel how to move it in a way so they are excited about this.
Yeah, I think the audience is like a huge focus, though. That's your community. That's what is making a festival successful or not, right? If they're coming back to your festival, if they're bringing more friends to your festival, they are making your festival successful. So I think you have to look after them. Like for example, when we like that example I just told you, actually, when we first had the festival, we had like 200 people, but those 200 people went back. They brought their friends, and now 10 years on or 12 years on, they're coming with their children. So now we are consciously programming for their for children, because we know that children are coming to our festival now. So you have to be in touch with your audience. You have to know what they are looking for. They're no longer coming to just listen to music and have a great time. They're bringing their kids. So if they don't have anything for the children, then they are not going to come back, because you know how it is when you have children, right? Yeah. So yeah.
Great. But is it a goal for all of you to grow, to make the festival bigger, or can you feel like, oh, this is the perfect size?
I mean, South By, I think we've kind of hit our point. In like 2018, 2019, and a couple years before the pandemic, we had closer to like 1,900 artists. So it was like even bigger. But at that point, I think we kind of realized that it was a little oversaturated. And we scaled back. You know, we took notes from our audiences and people like that, who were just like, y'all, this is already a lot, but this is too much. So, you know, in that we listened. We've been scaling back and, you know, really focusing and honing in on that stuff. And I think we're at a really great place right now. So.
Now, in our case, it's more, so to say, logical like ceiling for the growth. It's we are a small country. It's 1.8 million people. So out of that, you can get as much as they can
well,
get.
Half of them can come.
Yeah, and you have some neighbors from neighboring countries. But anyway, I think it's The growth as such is not so, for me, is not so important. I would say, yeah, it is nice and it's good because we already have, I would say, decent amount of audience. And of course we can grow, but we have to, this audience should feel comfortable. You may not grow so quickly and then don't satisfy all the needs what they have. For example, one of the problems what we have, we are a festival in a city, so it's not outside city. It's in a city, on a seaside, as you saw, it's a couple stages on beach, couple in a park, but it's in city. But anyway, this city is quite small, and there's the biggest problem for our audience is hospitality, where to live. Prices are going up. Of course, we have camping site, and there's like 5,000 people living in tents.
So it's houseboats.
Yeah. We are now thinking about every possible way how to host our, but that's our limits, like, for example. Yeah, so it's, we have to solve these problems, then you can grow.
I understand.
Similarly, I think for us as well, I think there is a cap. We have to cap it at a certain number. I think we are nearly there now because the festival happens in a small little town in Northeast India. When we began, there were like two hotels and we set up camping sites. But now, and every other home sort of like now opens up their living rooms and couches as like for people to stay at. But even then, there is a infrastructure like limitation, so we have to work with that. So I don't think we can grow to like an 50,000 people or 20,000 people even. So no. Yeah, that's not what we are looking at.
I get it.
I mean, not that that's a bad thing, though. I mean, I think like y'all have found your niches, you found your audience, and you know, being aware of those logistics and those limitations and stuff is great because then, you know, you don't fall into those traps like we were kind of talking about with the more unsuccessful festivals and stuff like that. So
yeah, because you don't want your audience to be stuck in a traffic jam like David Frick was saying this morning, right? Like you don't want them to have a bad time. Like you want a place, you have to be able to work with the place that your festival is in. And I don't think, there's a number to it.
But if you're talking about in general, what's the threat for the festivals as such? I think it's a change of habits of younger generation. I would say that it's influence of pandemics. People are, I'd say, like they're more lazy. They don't want to go out and camping. They better stay at their own flat and go to city festivals. I think it's a future for next generation. In our case, it doesn't exactly like that. A lot of people, we have like three-fourths of our visitors are coming to this town from other whole country. So they're traveling there.
Yeah.
But anyways, I have heard that other festivals have struggling with these problems that people don't want to camp.
I think we have the same problem in Sweden also. Mm-hmm. We have the Lollapalooza inside of Stockholm, that's great for younger kids. They stay in hotels.
Yep.
Yeah. They don't want to camp.
They don't want to camp.
In Austin, you don't camp.
No. We have our biggest festival this year, so I'm not sure that I completely agree with that because I feel like people post-pandemic are like dying to get out because we've never had such a huge like crowd come to the festival, show up.
And I guess if you go to Zero Festival, you're out for like a nature experience also.
Yes.
You know what you're
get
buying.
Get away from city.
Yeah.
Yes, it is an investment into time as well, because it takes a bit of time to get there. Not as long as you saw, because that was from 5 years ago. Now there's even an airport in Zero, so guys, please don't be put off by that.
Okay. But speaking of younger people, how do you do to attract the younger audience? Do you have a problem with it, first of all?
No, I wouldn't say we have a huge problem with it. I mean, the local scene in Austin is incredible. So we have a ton of local like UT students and even like Texas State kids from around the area that come out. I'd say because our festival is largely, like music industry focused, you know, we cater to a lot of industry and professionals as opposed to, you know, like your regular audiences, but you know, we we don't want to forget about our community at the same time and stuff like that. So, no, I wouldn't say it's a problem. And I mean, we also we have a lot of bands for them to be interested in and check out. Yeah. So,
yeah, for us, it's we are doing some research already since 2019, and we have like now understood that our audience has a little bit changed. If we had like in 2019, it was 2/3 were under 23 years. Now we have like half and half. Half is under 23 years, and half is older than 23 years age. So it's my festival is becoming older, so to say.
Yeah, but still quite young.
Still,
I know
still
a lot of festivals.
Of course.
That
yeah.
are way over 40 for yeah. like the middle guy.
Yeah.
But Chris. Summer Breeze Festival in Germany. How do you do to attract younger audience? Because you're like hard rock metal focus, a little bit older audience.
Oh, we have an average of 26.
26?
Yes.
That's great.
29 that moved within the pandemic, of course, because it's really tough to attract young kids.
Give the guy a mic.
Yeah, quite young audience. Still. this year we did for the first time we did like gave away 1,000 tickets for people between 18 and 21 for one day, so they could check out a festival. They've never been on a festival because they got older during the pandemic, and like 400 kids took the chance. So we're gonna do that next year again. So we'll see. Maybe this helps us to get new kids to the festival. And we do have a kids band playing on Saturday, and families have free entrance on the campsite to check out the band on that stage.
Do you also have noticed the problem with like kids doesn't want to camp or stay in a tent?
No, we have like 40,000 people camping.
Yeah, and
it's
I know
like 95%.
Yeah. Good. Any more questions or something? Hold the mic. No? Please.
Thank you so much. What was the like start of your journey getting into being part of festivals? Like, did you guys individually, like, did you intern? Did you work with like a festival? Like, how did you get started?
Good question.
Yeah, I'll start. I'm still pretty young in the industry, so I haven't been doing this that long. I actually interned for South By whenever I was in college in 2019. So like right before the pandemic, saw it before the chaos happened, and then finished out college in 2020, and then came to South By to work full-time in 2021. Before South By, I had worked for like a small booking agency in Dallas. It was definitely my first intro into the music world, and I'm forever grateful for that job. It was amazing, but I mean, we worked with like DIY artists, like the smallest of the smallest bands in, you know, 50 cap rooms and stuff like that. But you know, everybody has to start somewhere, and that led me to where I am now. It gave me some great opportunities, and I mean, yeah, it's a dream working at South By. I got incredibly lucky.
How many people work there?
On the music festival team, I'd say we have about 10 people, but I mean, that grows throughout the year as we get closer to the festival with seasonal help and part-time, and I mean, the rest of the company as a whole helps out a ton. There's probably 150 to 200 full-time staff, I'd say.
It's quite big.
Yeah. My story is long and with twists. It started 2003, and we, with my friend Bruno, opened a bar in Riga, I Love You Bar, where after a while we started I Love You Records. And at some point we had in some other festival, we had I Love You stage, so on stage. And then one of my friends started Summer Sound. It's not started by me, Summer Sound. I joined just in third edition, so it was in 2013, this festival. And for a while I was like more, so to say, passive investor till and from 2018 I'm hands-on, like operational organizer of this festival. So I have four editions are created by me.
Well, the festival, the story of the festival is that Anoop, whose voice you heard on the film, he has a band, and I was doing photos for them, and we were touring the Northeast, and that's when we met our partner from Zero, who was the local promoter for like the gig there. And so there was just a conversation, and then we decided to do like a festival in Zero. And it was mostly Anoop and Bobby that did that conversation, but because Anoop, Randeep, and I lived, we used to run a cafe together in Delhi. And when you're starting out a festival, you just want friends that you can depend on, because, I mean, it was literally the four of us that put together the festival and did everything from like artists like going running to the you know, shops to like buy chicken because it was raining so hard. I mean, the food was not being made, so it was just like we started the festival like it was literally like calling 20 bands to come and to come to Zero, and because they were friends, and So they kind of understood. And so it was my experience with the festival was literally like jump into the deep end and like do everything at the festival. And that was our first year. It was a hard year. The sound didn't arrive till the morning of the festival because there was a landslide and it got stuck somewhere. Same with the food, which is why we were running to buy chicken to feed the artists who were supremely angry because they were stuck in a landslide for 24 hours as well, after a 30-hour train journey. So it was just like plying them with like local rice beer and like, you know, just like have a drink. Yeah, yeah, there's no food, but you know, have a drink. And yeah, that's how my journey with like festivals began. But I think if you want to do something, you just sometimes you just jump into it without thinking. And it's been like 10 years of not thinking much. And I, in fact, even when I watch this film, I'm just amazed that, oh my goodness, how do we do this every year? Because now, in like 12 years of us working together, we've just come from four people to like seven people, and we're still running this show. So yeah, just that's how it was, just jumping into the mud and like sticking with it or being stuck, I don't know.
Impressive. Yeah, local rice beer, that would be something.
Yes.
But speaking about the future, like for your own festivals and maybe festivals in general, what do you see? How is it going to look like 10 years from now?
I've seen a huge growth in the electronic community lately. You know, I think like DJs and the dance nights and trance and house and all that stuff is really coming up heavy right now. So I've seen a lot of that. And then I know in America, at least, we've been getting a lot of Latin artists that are starting to branch out and come through. And there's, I mean, in Texas, there's a huge audience for it. We're right there. So it's really easy. But I'd love to see the Latin community continue growing, too. So.
Yeah. And you think that they also will continue to go to festivals and...
I hope so. I mean, I know Paco, who was on one of the panels earlier, can probably attest to this way more than I can. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to. I think, you know, there's a little bit of a difficulty when it comes to travel. I mean, and that goes for any artist, you know. So I think it's just about creating new avenues, and, you know, we're part of that process, so.
Yeah, in our case, I would say that, in general, I don't see big changes as we are following what is required or asked, demanded from our audience. So we are just following what's going on, and that's actually what we do. We have like 1/4 is international artists, and 3/4 are local artists. So we are a huge supporter for local artist promotion as well. So
great.
I think it's it. it will remain the same, that we will be the place where we can bring together audience with a local artist and bring something interesting from abroad.
Do you have a problem with it, like the audience having unreal expectations, like they wanted?
That's what I was talking, that we are trying, we are not asking our audience what you want.
No, but I mean,
such that, because it's hard. If you ask them, they will ask huge names, which what yeah. you can never get. Yeah, in our size. Yeah, but in general, I think we are meeting expectations, and so it's that's what I told, that we are trying to meet and little bit exceed their expectations. Yeah.
I think for us, I mean, it's we had our 10th edition this year, and after 10 years, we finally see a lot more corporate brands being interested in us. It's not that they weren't interested before, but now we're finding corporate sponsors who believe in our values and our, I mean, we are a sustainable festival and we want to continue to grow to be a more sustainable festival, because that is like a core belief that we have. And because the festival happens on indigenous land, and so, which is why if you notice that we have, the whole festival sort of comes up with bamboo, which is locally sourced, which is giving back to the community. And we want to, so now we see corporate brands believing in that sustainable angle, like it's become a trend in festivals around the world, actually, which we've been doing from the very beginning. But just seeing this kind of interest and money that is coming to support us, now we see ourselves being able to work towards that and growing in, I mean, to be like a more sustainable festival. And I feel like that is at the heart and core of what we believe in, and I hope that that is where we are 10 years from now, one of the most sustainable festival in the world. Yeah.
I have to ask something about the bamboo. You build everything up every year and tear it down?
Yes.
Do you use the same bamboo next year, or is it new bamboo?
No, we store a lot of the wooden floors from the stages. We store that wood. We store a lot of the bamboo, which is, what do you call it, treated, like seasoned bamboo, which can be reused. But a lot of young bamboo that we buy for the festival is not yet seasoned and will not last the monsoon. So we sort of, you know, the local community, then we buy it. If we buy it at 45 rupees, I don't know what that is in krona, shrona, but if we buy it at 50 rupees, say, then we sell it back to the community at 25 rupees.
Okay.
And sometimes they just take it for free even. So yeah, we don't keep, we can't keep all of it.
Get it.
Yeah.
How much bamboo do you buy? Do you have a number?
I think 20,000 bamboos, if I'm not wrong.
20,000 trees, like or
we have lots. I mean, trees, like 1 month, yeah, more, maybe more than that, actually. Yeah, I don't have the exact number, but like, yeah, our stages have gotten so much bigger than before. So yeah, it takes a month to build, and it takes more than a month to come down. So yes,
that's
it
great.
Is an effort.
Any more questions? Caro, right? No. What's the biggest problems dealing with the festival?
I never sleep the week of the festival. I don't know. I mean, I really can't say I have too many problems. I think that's just me being an optimist, though. No, I mean, I think maybe it is just managing expectations on all sides. You know, a lot of that at South By is managing artist expectations, too. We have a lot of first-time bands at this festival, and so, you know, they come in super excited and ready to go, and it can be a lot. So we have to kind of, you know, prepare people for what to expect, you know, and not in any kind of bad way. It's just, you know, like, all right, listen, this is, you know, a little bit of a different audience than you're used to. It's going to be, you know, you might have one show here on this night and then all the way across town on the other night. And so, you know, managing your time and being careful with that, and also, you know, be proactive. That's one of the biggest things that we always tell our artists is, you know, don't be afraid to go talk to that person at the show, or, you know, don't be afraid to set meetings with people or reach out, or, you know. Yeah, I think, yeah, that's probably the biggest issue that we have, and I wouldn't even really call that an issue.
No, but I understand it, yeah. You have any issues? How do you do with security with the beach?
Yeah, it's security is crucial. we have coast guards over there as well, and so it's and security just looks after people and so. But but we had a introduction this year. What I think in our region no festival has had. We introduced video surveillance through the festival. So we have a command center with all the screens, so we can spot if there's any, because we are growing quantity size, so you are responsible for the people who are there, so we can quickly address any problem if any arises. So, but yeah, it's like everybody was telling before that it is costs, and the same thing for us. It's production costs have grown like in skyrocketed again this year. So it was right after pandemic, it was growth, and now it was again. So it's balance this with what you want to create in this festival with what people can afford to pay for it. So it's there are a lot of challenges what should be addressed, and that's it. Yeah.
Do you have any issues?
I mean, there's always an issue, but you just have to like get on with it. But costs are of course an issue. Producing a festival in such a difficult part of the world can be a real issue. But like sometimes if you want to do something, you just have to get on with it. But I think certain issues that. Free passes is an issue. Everybody wants a free pass. So that's also an issue. Like the government, if they're supporting you, then every government officer wants a free pass, right? But any pressing issues, I can't think of anything other than the obvious things that they've already mentioned, yeah.
We have one interesting issue, but we already addressed it. It's for last year's. It was we have two stages on the beach, and the width of the beach changes all the time. And it's not related to like usual what you have tide.
Yeah.
It's depending on the wind.
Okay.
Oh. And you cannot plan for that. It could be like within a week you have. Either 50 meters width or 30 meters width. Wow. So you have to build everything on the dune side. So it's interesting things to be addressed.
Landscape, I guess, kind of does come into play. That is something that we're not necessarily in the same way. Obviously, we're not on a beach.
Yeah.
But thinking about the landscape of things and how that can affect it, you know, since we are a little bit like this festival, you know, where it's in different venues across the city, it's something we have to pay attention to with the changing landscape of the city and, you know, venues changing and places not opening for the next year and stuff like that. So being aware of, you know, like, where are we going to go? What's new? What are the people going to now? Where are the popular spots? Like, those kind of things.
Yeah, and I guess all of you in some way have to have a good communication with like the city or the local community.
Yes, yeah. I was just going to mention that. Yeah, that can be an issue if you're not in. Your local community where your festival is. We have of course had pushback from certain people, but like you know, very quickly that changed into a non-issue because you just. As a community, the whole village or the town realize how much economic benefit the festival is bringing to Zero, which was not even on the map before, and now like
now it's the center of the world.
It is. <Yeah. laughs> Yes, exactly. So yeah, I think just having like that can be a real issue, but we've been able to work around it because we sort of work with the local community as well. They have helped us. They help us. Produce the festival, right? Like I don't work with bamboo. It's the local people that we employ to like build our stages who are also benefiting from the festival as well. So that could have been an issue if we just brought in like truckloads of just like metal frames and things like that to build our stages, but we didn't.
I can add as well that it's also some kind of educational process or interaction with local communities. That, for example, we could solve a problem with hospitality because there's a city, there's 50,000 people living. So if they would open their flats or yards, it would help to solve this because it's possible to solve it just decentralized because festival is big and for once in a year you don't build new hotels. So it means that it should be addressed decentralized. So it's a peer-to-peer solution. So okay, it's there's Airbnb and
yeah.
So yeah. But people don't do it like they don't do through the year. They just need it for one weekend to be open and accept those festival goers. Yeah. But it's with the time changes, yeah.
Yeah, you should have some kind of place where you maybe, as a festival, can help people to rent out.
We do everything. We do Facebook groups and we do advertisements in local media and everything. Yeah, but it takes time to them accept it that it's possible and it's safe and it's, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Well, any more questions or should we wrap this up?
Hello. I wonder, do you ever like visit each other's festivals to do like benchmark and so on? Because I know in Sweden we do that. We look at each other and to improve all the time.
What's the latest festival you went to?
No, I'm coming here and I'm visiting as much festivals as it possible. I've been in Southwest as well. Haven't been at your festival yet. So it's benchmarking is. It's for me. It's more. It's regional to compare. I have to go to other festivals which are in region, Lithuania, Estonia, and yeah. So Sweden, for example. Yeah. So I do that. Yeah. Yeah. And learn something new. What could be brought to my festival.
Yeah, it's super important. I mean, that's why we're here, you know. And I mean, I love festivals, clearly. So anytime I get to go to a festival, I am 100% on board. So yeah, I know I go to several throughout the year, and there's other people on my team who also travel for festivals and stuff like that over all parts of the world. So yeah, it's a huge part of the process, and it's always great to learn something new and be a part of things like this. So
yeah.
Yeah, definitely same thing. Every festival that I go to is a learning experience. Even if Aviva Sounds is so different from my festival, it's been such a great experience just learning and realizing how much a city can help a festival, which we don't have the privilege of in like where I work. When we were looking at sustainability, we went to Fuji Rock because the Japanese are known for just, it's a part of like their life, right? So but we went to study the festival and how they were managing waste. We've tried to like build some of that stuff into our festival as well. And today when I was listening to your panel, and I'm very interested in going to Midgardsblot. I don't know how it's pronounced, it just sounds like a great like festival, and I feel like there's certain similarities there. There's a lot of like even our merch, actually we are also working with like a sustainable range of merch simply because that's who we are. So I'm really looking forward to like going there and to Summer Sounds and everything. Yeah, sure. Is yeah
great. And Viva Sound next year.
Yes.
Yeah. Any more?
Hi guys. I know that you are around on some showcase festivals, but do you book any bands without agencies, like do-it-yourself bands, who mostly plays on these showcase festivals?
Yeah, at South By we have, okay, yeah. So There's a bunch of different types of showcases at South By. So we have some like South By Present showcases, which are largely curated by the programming team, like very specifically. And then we have our attached showcases, which are usually presented by record labels or agencies, managers, you know, PR companies, you know, pretty much anybody involved in the music industry puts on a showcase, media. So there's those, and then we also have branded showcases, which, you know, most of the time the branded showcases are where you see your larger acts and stuff, but that's the unattached, the South By Present shows are where a lot of those DIY artists come in, and, you know, it's, that's us as a South By team, like, seeing true talent in an artist and being like, you know what, like, yes, like, you totally deserve a stage at our festival, we'd love to have you, let's bring it on. So, yeah, we have tons of smaller acts. I'd say it's probably, maybe this is a total guesstimate, so please don't quote me on this, but I'd say maybe like a third of our artists are pretty DIY, like no team, just doing it on their own.
Yeah, in my case, I'm attracting artists in all the possible ways. Either I approach them directly if I like something, and I'm going out scouting in showcase festivals and looking at different bands, and just go to the band manager and tell, okay, or the band itself, and ask, are you, if you have management or agencies, and tell me to whom should I contact. Yeah, in Latvia, approaching directly artists, they are approaching me directly because I'm open and accessible, yeah, through Facebook or through website and email. People are sending emails from abroad, and yeah, so it's all the way. So it's not always there's a middleman. Some artists I approach through big international agencies, so yeah, representing them. Yeah.
Yeah, same. We, I mean, artists write to us. We look out for artists. They're mostly DIY Indian artists. Most of the bands are not, they're all independent, so there's no middleman involved. With international bands, we are, we do look for partners who can, we can't afford to like book international bands because it's just too expensive to like fly them there for the festival. So we do look for international partners that can help us. Like Matthias sent a Swedish band this time for the first time, played at the festival, and that was thanks to Westside Music, Westside Sweden, yeah.
Westside Music.
Okay. So yeah. Sometimes you have to look for partners. Sometimes you have to look for promoters. But mostly we are open to like people reaching out to us directly as well.
That's great. I hope all of you have a great night and see a lot of great bands that you bring with you to your festivals next year.
Hopefully, yeah.